If they want to make a motion on anything only, right?
Yeah, it's right in the floor.
It's only if you make a motion on something. To like approve the minutes and stuff.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
we're not acting on it.
Yeah, it's more 50% or 66.
I was understanding that it was 4 out of 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Who's got the bottom?
Okay, well, in that case.
Yeah.
Meeting's called to order. How's that? Were we able to get Kelly on speaker? Speaker mode?
No.
No, we don't have that.
All right. Well, next meeting, I'm going to bring my laptop so that he can be here on Skype. But I've been chatting with him off and on all month. So I think some of the things I've got on my list can represent him. I guess the first order of business, do we have anyone on public comment? Oh, we have one speaker. Gail.
I came this last fall and just presented the idea of changing the name of the new park, park to rename it. And we were going to kind of start the process in the fall. However, the holidays and the bad weather, we just thought it probably just gives it a breather. And so I'm just wondering if we're going to start that process.
Which park are you talking about?
Brett
and Canyon Park on Northwest 389th Street. Can you refresh us which one that is? Do we have it on the map?
Woodland DNR site. It's the Woodland DNR site. Regional, future regional park, regional park, remote camp.
Leanne, do you have any status on
one that doesn't really make sense for the name?
I don't. The policy was.
Yeah, we just passed the policy at the last meeting.
Yeah, and I haven't received an update from Bill as far as where it's going.
Well, it's been approved.
Again, it's the holidays and everything.
I would anticipate that when Bill is back, I'll check with him. If you want to leave your number, we'll be happy to give you a call and let you know.
Sorry, Bill is here, yeah. Definitely.
You have to know, along that line, I got a call from Sue Lynn, who is still not able to make it today. And she was asking the same for Schaefer Park. And I know that Bill was going to check on that for me.
Okay. Yeah, he hasn't.
No,
yeah,
I'll call him tomorrow then. Because I promised her an update.
I have a question for you. Do we have to deal with each one of these individuals? Can we set up a time when this can occur? I mean, it sounds to me like you've got a bunch of them out there that... Mm-hmm. People may want to change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would be
something
like
you might
think. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to have to deal with each one of these individually. We'll be sitting here for months just going over names
and
cards.
Which one do you pick first?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as I recall, the policy states that it's actually the commissioners that make that decision. We only do features in the park.
That's correct.
So
but they have to have some kind of a policy
We would speak up in support or
right.
Not. But
exactly.
But we don't have to actually work through
I
each
don't
one.
Know,
so.
But
and for the benefit of, what is your name again?
I'm Gail.
For the benefit of Gail, what has to happen before Gail can get some action going on this? The Board of County Commissioners has to approve the policy that we recommended go in place and then she can get some traction? Is that how that has to work? Okay.
Can you answer this?
So, the Parks Advisory Board puts forth, as far as I understand, puts forth a recommendation for approval or to rename the park, and then the board will approve that.
So, in other words, it comes back to us to
it would come,
on an individual basis.
It would come through Bill, though.
But I'm saying it would come back to us on an individual basis to make recommendations.
I get that part, but right now we don't have a policy that's been adopted by the Board of County Commissioners, or have we, that says this is how we do the work?
No, we sent that.
I thought it actually was adopted by the board.
Okay.
I'm not 100% positive on that.
Okay.
But if someone has an internet access, you can go on the grid and check that out.
Okay.
They do it's extremely slow.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping to know is whether the board has passed the policy so that you can now look at go forward with that, or if we still had to wait for that one more step.
End of the year. I seem to recall that it did go forward, but was planning on going, but when it was postponed, I didn't. Why don't we take a minute and just go around the table and introduce ourselves for roll call so that some of our members can meet us. Starting with Leanne.
Leanne Mattis, office assistant for Parks.
Sherry Martin, executive director of the Parks Foundation, and I just want to point out some guests that I brought. Sherry Thompson works with me at the Parks Foundation. She handles our marketing and events and development. And Jim Luce is one of our board members, and he's here to meet all of you and watch the presentation, learn a little bit about what you're doing here.
Welcome.
Jennifer Halleck, Vancouver Public Schools.
Kenneth Spertus, Ford.
Barbara Anderson, Ford.
Marcia King, Ford.
Adam Babuka, Ford. Chris Fay, Evergreen Public Schools.
Jeff Mize, I handle public information and outreach for Clark County Public Works.
Gene Akers, consultant with Conservation Techniques.
And Jeff Naiman with Clark County Community Planning.
And Jerry here.
Jerry here, Clark County Parks.
Hello, I'm Sherry Larson. I'm a new Clark County Parks employee.
Moving forward, minutes from last meeting, I had one correction, which was the R was missing in frac. Any other comments or corrections? Hearing nothing, then I guess they are approved as corrected, amended. Next thing on our agenda is the election of officers for 2015. Floor is open for nominations.
Madam Chairman, I would like to table this one more time until we have more people present. I don't think this is quite the group that should do the election.
To keep a continuity, I would agree with Marcia.
Your feeling? Millennium.
Since John's not here, he should be secretary.
Here's a finger to you. That's not allowed.
Not true. I would agree that.
Any objections to postponing one more month?
Oh, a month. I was thinking status quo, vote it moving forward.
There we go.
Because I've been thinking, keep them with continuity, secretary, president, stay the same. We just sort of began this and got the hang of it, huh?
I agree.
That's what I was thinking.
I second that motion.
Motion on that.
I second that motion.
I don't know. Can I make a motion? I'm not sure.
No.
You can.
You'd
like to.
I'd like to make a motion that the board officers stay the same for the next period of time.
Second.
Any objection to that, Adam?
No, I'm
you're fine. Okay. It's been motioned and seconded. I know that Kelly has said that he's willing to continue on, and I said as long as he would, I would. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So how long does that go for, like a year? For
okay,
the
good.
Yeah, that's what I think you're doing. Good.
I feel like
thank you,
Adam.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we're just getting our feet wet, that's for sure.
Bill's not here, so we're going to do
Bill, yeah, Bill's ill today, so we're going to postpone A, B, and C on the manager's report. So moving right along, our friend Terry has agreed to give us a little education on the Parks Foundation.
Just real quick, I did pull up the policy was approved by the board of Clark County Commissioners on December 16th.
Okay.
So it does state down here in Section 7, Parks Advisory Board considered the commitment to name a proposal upon it being advanced by the Clark County Parks Manager or as the so.
So it comes through Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Each one individually, then. Let's be able to figure out a way to put them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So will Gail need to email him, or can we email Bill and say, Bill, we have Kim Bill Francis?
Yeah,
do we need to formally have someone to...
Bill tomorrow anyway about Schaefer.
Okay.
Because I know that he told me the last time I chatted with him that there was going to be some action on that.
Okay.
And the Minnehaha neighborhood has heard nothing, even though he stated he felt that there was some notification that was supposed to have gone out.
Okay.
So I'll just check with him on this as well.
Okay.
Well, it'd be nice, since we just got the policy, if he's got multiple ones, maybe if we just put them all together, since
like
it looks like it
Park.
Goes forward and then comes back to us. But
Park.
For me, you know, if I have a list and they're all together, then we're not onesie, twosie.
It would be wonderful if we could get a name recommendation, a current name, and then some kind of reasoning for why that name needs to be changed. It would simplify things for me tremendously.
If we had a form that maybe a representative
some kind of
filled
form,
out
yeah.
and sent in to them, so they, with that information.
Well, I'm sure you're probably working on a process to support that, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty new.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of your suggestions are great. I'm taking notes, so.
Okay.
So you like it, just a one sheet form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like all the information on
I'm
it.
I'm interested in the past and the recommendations for the future names, that sort of thing.
But I do think that each one does need to be considered on its own merit.
That's fine.
You know.
But I'm just saying, what if you have two or three people who want to name a park something different, that same park?
Mm-hmm.
Then I think you... there's been some of that.
Yeah, I would hope that would be consolidated. So.
We just need to have a process that people... Because like you said, there's three or four people that want to rename it, and they all have different ideas.
Yeah.
They can all put their input in, and it can all equally be looked at to make it fair for everybody. So if we have some kind of a process where people can go on and put their recommendation and
proposal together.
Yeah, just so everybody feels that they have an equal voice.
Yeah, I don't want them to feel like they have to write a...
No.
Not Jean, like Jean's proposals to us. I don't want to do that. Just a little,
I happen to like Jean's because I'm a very detail-oriented.
I'm just giving her a hard time.
Well, Bill mentioned to me before the December 18th meeting that the change was that the process is generally, I might say this in there, go through like public newspapers, associations, etc., for people to submit names that would be appropriate. And so I think that's the process that most of us in the neighborhood would like to do. Is to so because it doesn't have to be like next month or something, you know, just that, so that there's more, the whole point was community involvement in the naming of the park rather than just being stamped by a county employee.
Super.
So hopefully we'll see that new process.
Okay, Sherry.
So, Sherry, the floor is yours now.
All your time.
So, I first wanted to let you all know that Fluffy's here with us today. This is Fluffy's briefcase, and she left it to me. I've left her in a lot of different places because, you know, Fluffy, she's pretty mischievous. So, please help me today and not leave her here. She usually likes to stay where there's some wine. Anyway, that gift meant the world to me, and I know many of you here knew and loved Flossie as much as me. So I'm not going to really follow much of a script. Barbara asked me to come today. There's some of you here who aren't real familiar with the work of the Parks Foundation, and also we have some important deadlines coming up that she wanted to be sure that you were aware of. So just going to do a quick overview, and Jeremy's going to help me. So who we are is an independent nonprofit organization, and we're dedicated to raising the quality of life in Clark County through the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Program. Our vision is driving partnerships with communities to ensure a commonly vibrant Parks, Trails, and Recreation programs throughout Clark County. And our mission is to raise funds. That's really all we really need to say. Our mission is to raise funds. But we do it through public and private partnerships. So what that means is that the donations, the partnerships that we're able to forge with some of the businesses to help sponsor our grants, sponsor our programs,
It's just the different kinds of partnerships we put together are really the key to our success as an organization, and all of that benefits. And I want to just, you'll see this over and over, the Parks, Trails, and Recreational Programs of Clark County. And that's the biggest and most important piece for us, is that we are the Parks Foundation of Clark County. So that's Clark County, but there's also the cities and one town in Clark County. So we support all of those jurisdictions. So we work with you, and we work with Vancouver Parks and Rec, the town of Yaphill, Washougal Parks, everybody. And it's one big for all of us. I mean, we all enjoy all the parks. We don't stop and say, oops, that's a battleground park, I can't go in. They're, you know, the citizens of Clark County don't see the difference. So that's kind of where we come in, and we just work with everybody all together at once. Okay. Our values are the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Programs, healthy community, and our partnerships. And so the biggest focus of what I'm going to talk to you about today is our community grant program, and that is really what we're all about. We work all year long to raise money through our events, our membership drive, just unrestricted donations, and then our targeted appeals that I'm sure all of you received, which asks for money specifically for our grant program. All the money that we make every year, so in 2014 is no different, all the events, everything net, and all of the money that was donated specifically for the grant program, 100% of that goes right back out into the community. So since we started awarding grants in 2009, we have awarded $422,365. We started in 2008 with $7,200 in our pot. And so it's just really grown. In 2014, we awarded $182,000. That is not just money that we raise, it's grants we receive, like from the IT Employee Fund, sponsorships from Nautilus, you know, people just really pitching in and seeing the need, seeing the importance, and jumping on and saying, I'll help. And so that's the puzzle all comes together, that is the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Programs of Clark County. So I'm just going to highlight the grants, and I did bring, I brought a spreadsheet, because I thought that, especially some of you who are new, and probably everybody, the first one shows, I guess this is go this way, year by year, across the top, tells the total for the year that was awarded, and then if you go down, it's broken down by each jurisdiction. So at the bottom, you can see how much each city or Clark County has received from the Parks Foundation, and then you see the total each year. So you'll see that Clark County has won, but you have to remember that it was a combined district. So anything before 2014 that was awarded to Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation was also technically awarded to Clark County Parks. So I want to be sure that you all keep that in mind. And then this last year in 2014, Clark County applied for their own separate grant, and we awarded the grant to do the Vancouver Lake Trail extension. So this year in Richfield, and then this one gives you, so you can take these, because I'm going to go through these quickly, but it breaks down each city, each year what each city received is a little more description. And it's also noted at the bottom of each city what they have received in the past. But this year specifically, we purchased a new swing set in Abrams Park. We replaced an old swing set that was dangerous and was going to be removed. And this one has paddler ones and regular swings. So that's down in Abrams Park, which is a huge, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with it, beautiful park in Richfield. In Washougal, old tennis courts that could no longer be used were refurbished and turned into pickleball courts. They host tournaments. It's just busy, busy, busy. All ages participate. It's a beautiful facility if you haven't been up there to see that. And then, again, all the things that have been funded in Washougal. Kamloops this year, funding was provided. This is a really great example of partnerships. There was a couple in Washougal who wanted to see this deck completed so that they could walk on the trail and stand and look over and have sort of a resting spot. They contributed $15,000 towards this project. We pitched in about $10,000, and Georgia Pacific also made a contribution. So between all of those groups, we were able to fund the project. It's still in process. It hasn't been completed, but we're looking for that to be done in the spring.
Battleground historically always applies to us for support for their summer playground program, which has proven to be so successful that the City of Ridgefield contracts with Battleground now to bring the summer playground program over to Ridgefield one day a week during the summer. And that program is sponsored by Riverview Community Bank. Every year, Riverview pitches in $6,000 to keep that program going. And then we work either our funding that we have or other partners that we're able to secure to get the rest of it to keep that program going for them. The City of Vancouver applied for new fitness equipment for Homestead Park. That's the kind of like the course where you go through and you do different exercises in the park. When the park was first built, and Jeremy can jump in and help me, Gene too, you guys know more about these things than I do, but it was a part of the park, and I think they were 30 years old. They were very old. They actually didn't move. And the Neighborhood Association went to the city, the Parks Department, and said, would you apply for a grant on our behalf? Because we'd only accept grants from the department. We won't, you know, outside groups can't, like, you know, a soccer club or a t-ball group can't come because we would be, you can imagine, we'd be inundated, have to come through the department. So this is an example of how a neighborhood association was able to get their request funded because then the city presented it to us as a priority. And then that's when we say, okay, we want to look at that and see about funding it. Summer playground programs have always been a huge focus for Vancouver Parks and Rec, and the Evergreen Summer Playground Program has been kept running. That's the park on Fourth Plain in the real kind of a high-risk area. The program initially was kind of put into place to get rid of the gangs in the park that were hanging out, clean it up, make it a safe place for the neighborhood. We've cobbled that together with the help of Mayor Leavitt and just different grants. Every year it was just like a struggle to keep that program going. And they, in 2013, Todd and Maxine McCloskey Foundation, they've been watching, they've been seeing that this program kept going, but every year it was like, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? They stepped forward with a five-year pledge for $26,000 a year to do two summer playground programs. So that's an example of how if you keep working and you keep making it happen, people will step in and say, okay, you did a good job, now we're gonna take over and really help you out. As I mentioned, Clark County, Karen Llewellyn applied for a grant to extend the Vancouver Lake Trail. Gene and I are very familiar. We walk that a couple times a week and watch the progress. And that grant was actually funded through a Parks Foundation donor-advised fund. The Langsdorff family had come to us, I believe, back in 2012 and had some funds that they wanted dedicated in honor of their mother, Dorothy Langsdorff, who was the real spearhead behind the Discovery Trail. And so every year I would bring trail projects to them and they would say, no, but that's not it. It's not the one. Brought this one to them and they said, that's it. So that's where their money went, is to fund. In fact, they funded Karen's request, but they're also willing to fund more as the project is completed, things like benches and signage and other amenities as they see it happening. So really great example of how people can bring the money and we just keep working with them to find what fits for them. Everybody Plays Recreation Scholarship Program, you'll see that on that list, has always received significant funding, always noted as a huge priority. It provides scholarships for all children in Clark County from low-income homes, same criteria as free and reduced lunch, and that allows them to participate in any of the programs offered at Marshall and Furstenberg Community Center. So that's for soccer, for summer camp, for camps over the holidays. Swim lessons is the number one thing the scholarships are used for. And kind of our crown jewel, I think very, very proud of having been able to fund 100% through the Parks Foundation, the skate park in Yakult. They came to us in 2012, I believe you guys have the paperwork, but we funded phase one. And they came back in 2013 and asked for phase two and three, and we said, oof, that's a lot. So we weren't able to fund any of it. And in 2014, they asked for phase two, but they brought the skaters to the grant application meeting, who talked and talked and talked. And when they left the room, the grant review committee, it's not actually made of board members, it's made of community members. Barbara's on it, Jean's on it, Jim's on it, turned to me and said, why can't we do the whole thing? And so we were actually able to, through some cost savings that Yakut was able to put together by doing both phases at once, go ahead and award both phase 2 and 3, and now the park is complete up there. So another program that we support are the 50 and Better programs, and that I know I qualify for that. The dancing, hiking, travel, clubs, fitness. In 2000, the Parks Foundation received a bequest from the Theodore Barney family of $750,000. And each year through that endowment, approximately $35,000 to $40,000 is funneled right over to the department to help fund these programs. And the seniors actually are the ones who get to decide how the money is used. So they have an advisory council. They sit down, we tell them how much is available, and they all vote. They, even the members who seniors who participate at Rudy Lupke get to actually place votes. So it's a really great system they have in place to be sure the money is used exactly how the Barney family had intended. Swim programs are huge, and we have one family in particular here in Clark County who sees the need for swim lessons. They're surrounded by water. And every year they contribute $6,000 specifically for swim lessons for children from low-income families. And they also contribute $6,000 to have a free family swim session every Saturday at Marshall Pool, so families can come in and swim for free. And that's the Bauman family, Bauman Chiropractic. So another example of a family who came in, started small, kind of funding a few things, and just keep giving and giving because they see the tremendous value of their gift. So this is just kind of an overview of the things that we do. We work with the jurisdictions and throughout Clark County for trail building. Got some different pictures here. One of our biggest partnerships we have is the Whipple Creek. That's a special project fund that we hold the donations for that group, and we work with them. We pay their bills. We help them with their invoicing and different things like that. I don't think there's a picture there right there, but Whipple Creek is a project we're really proud to partner with. And Friday teen late night at the Kirstenberg and Marshall Community Center. That draws teens from all over Clark County up actually, what's the next county?
Skamania, Cowlitz.
Cowlitz, thank you. And Portland. It's, they track really closely where those kids are coming from, and it's definitely countywide. And that's a program that was cut, completely cut, but we've been able to keep that going through grants and, you know, people stepping forward. The Furstenberg Family Foundation, the Community Foundation, Wells Fargo, Unclopping, just kind of keeping it going. So really important one for those teens to have a place to go on Friday nights. And then inclusion and access to recreation. The Summer Sensory Camp is a perfect example of that. Another program, due to budget cuts, no funding, and the moms of those children work with the Parks Foundation. They do their fundraising through the Parks Foundation, and they've been able to keep that program going. And now we're actually looking at some grants to help. So the mom, this poor mom, 3 years, they've been funding $25,000 a year. They're getting tired. So we're working with the Nike, and they're actually applying to the Parks Foundation for a grant for that program this year. Community gardens. But not a whole lot to say about that one. And then we've funded the trail maps and discovery guide. The water trail was an actual collaboration of just putting the entire thing together and paying for the printing. And then the discovery guide has been out of print for a couple of years, and one of our grants paid for the reprinting of that, and it actually will be available next week again. And I think you're all familiar with the fact that we sell the bricks in Esther Short Park, and then each year, through the sale of the bricks, we're able to fund the beautiful flowers that you see at the park. And I think that everyone in the county visits Esther Short Park at least one time throughout the year. So it's a huge community benefit. We work with the Hilton. They bring lunch out for the volunteers. This year, it's May 17th, Saturday, May 17th. So if you'd like to participate, it's really a fun thing to do. So we have a couple of deadlines coming up. February 28th is the deadline to nominate an individual or individuals for the Florence B. Wager Awards. Each year we honor Florence's memory through the awards program, honoring excellence in service to parks, trails, and recreation. Barbara Anderson received the award for the volunteer, leading volunteer award, it's actually called the V Formation Flyer last year. Kelly Putney was named a leading eagle last year. Anyone else in the room? And then the third award honors a staff member. So the forms are available online. I can email them to you if you have someone in mind. And we've actually worked on the forms a little bit to make them not quite so intimidating. We really want some nominations. It's a very important award honoring Florence's memory. And that's just it. This is, like I said, I didn't have to guess. This is what received the award last year. And then last year we actually added, it's sort of an as appropriate award, the Mighty Columbia, just really honored, you know, Val and Dan Ogden. I don't have to say much more than that, but with Val's passing, we felt that we needed to do something to recognize the Ogdens for their tremendous support of parks, not only in Clark County, but really Dan's impact is felt all over the country. So our annual luncheon this year is Thursday, April 30th at the Hilton. It's 6 weeks early, so we're really under the gun to get our Florence Wager Awards done and get our grants reviewed and funded. We will do both the grant presentation and the Florence Wager Awards at the luncheon. So I hope you'll all attend. The grant, and let me go back to the grants. The grants are due January 31st. So we're waiting. The county is, I already know what they're applying for. I've asked all of the jurisdictions to let me know as soon as possible, even if their grants are completely ready, tell me what you're going to apply for. Because as I mentioned at the beginning, it's not just the money we have. It's me knowing, oh, they're going to apply for a playground in Hazeldale. Maybe there's a business in Hazeldale that I think would like to have, get some, you know, recognition or have an impact in the community and can go to them. And also that's where you can help. If you, you know, see some grants and you know, oh my goodness, this person's been talking to me and been saying, I'd like to help, I don't know what to do. It's finding that perfect fit for you know, the right grant for the right person. So that's what we'll be really focused on over the next couple of months. Upcoming events. I've got some little flyers I'll hand out to you, but our St. Patty's for Parks is Friday, March 13th at Shorty's Garden and Home. Fun, 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 21 and over. But okay. And Five Guys Named Mo will be back. We have the Molly Malone Dancers again. Those are the young ladies and young men who come in and do the Irish dancing. Vancouver Firefighter Pipes and Drums. Really fun. It's $25 in advance, $30 at the door. That gets you your first beverage. Beaches comes in, does Irish food. We have Irish beer. Just a really great time, and it's becoming, each year grows a little bit, and we're hoping for it to, you know, become one of our bigger fundraising events.
And let me just say, that is one wild, fun time.
Oh my gosh, I wish I would have put the picture of you. You have a great picture. Darn, I wish I would have thought of that. Barbara, what were you wearing? You had a face mask or something on, didn't you?
Green face.
Yes.
I was green. Yeah. It is fun, and the music is wonderful.
Five guys are great. The minute they start playing, the dance floor is full. So the next day, Sherry and I are back bright and early, 8 o'clock in the morning, to set up for St. Patty's for Kids, which is a free event for children. Last year, we had over 500 children come through. We work with our nonprofit partners in the community and also businesses who have a family focus, you know, toys, stores, cooking class, little place up the road here. And they set up booths and they offer activities to the children as they come through. We have everything. We have the cooking lessons, we have dance lessons, arts and crafts. You can see they're planting a little, they all leave with a little plant. And as they go through, they get their Irish passport stamp, and at the end they come to the Parks Foundation booth where last year Walmart provided toys, little small toys, and they each get to go into the pot of gold and pick out a toy. Really, really fun. Totally different than the night before, but even if you don't have children, it's just fun to watch those kids come through. They walk through a big rainbow as they come in. They're handed a gold coin by Columbia Credit Union, and it's really become quite the event. And then Monday, August 17th, is Par for Parks at Hamlet Meadows Golf Course. That's still the golf tournament is our biggest fundraising event of the year. and most of that is through sponsorships that we're able to secure for the tournament. We're hoping to be selected as a recipient of one of the Camas Meadows Concerts for a Cause, and we haven't received confirmation that that would be in July if we would do that. So as you can see, beginning in March, it's just kind of boom, boom, boom. Yeah, we're rolling. So you can help us by following us on Facebook, becoming a member. We are a membership organization. Memberships start at $25. They go really high. But $25 is an individual, family is $50. I do have membership forms here. We really it means a lot to have the people who are sitting on the Clark County Parks Advisory Board also on our membership page, because when the community looks and they're like, well, why should I belong if, you know, the people who are sitting on the Parks Advisory Board don't even support the work of the Parks Foundation. So it's just sort of a statement, but it also does help us with our revenue. We have an e-newsletter. If you're not signed up to receive that, I'm pretty sure you all are on our list, though. It's easy to do. Attend our events, support our events, tell people about our events, take some flyers, hand them out, put them in places, businesses near your home. Just help us. Mostly it's getting the word out about those events. And as you all, I know, do, I don't even have to say it, but advocate for parks in Clark County. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer any.
Okay. Did the splitting up of the parks for city and county affect the contributions?
I don't think so. It caused some confusion. But I think that we've actually been probably a steady thing there that didn't change, because we've always been the same. Just because Clark County is separate, really didn't change what we do, except we get to go to one more meeting and then and another grant application. So when people have asked about that, you know, that's pretty much what I've said, is it hasn't changed for us. Just getting to know the new players, but most of them stayed the same. They just, like with Jeremy and Bill, I mean, I knew everyone already, so that was very helpful. It wasn't a completely new department. But we did this year just about the same as last year, so I wouldn't say that I saw that as any kind of a factor in contribution. Oh, come on, guys.
No more questions. Well, thank you, Sherry. You know I'm a strong advocate.
Yes, you are.
But I do know that even for me, it took a little while for me to grasp why we needed a Parks Foundation. And over the years, seeing the impact that you've made on Clark County, I don't think the significance is easily discernible until you see something like what you did today. So that was perfect. Thanks
Great.
For coming.
Thank you. Jim, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I guess the only thing I would say is, consistent with what you just said, we need to raise our profile. And things that you can do, the easy things like us on Facebook. I think we have 500 likes on Facebook. And in a community this size, I'm sorry, that's really kind of pathetic. Our job is to raise money and give it away. And you get a tax deduction at the same time. So I think that we can do better in terms of making ourselves known in the community for what we do. I guess the other thing I would say is that people have a hard time sometimes distinguishing between parks and Parks Foundation. I mean, if you say somebody, well, what about the Parks Foundation? The answer is, well, that's what the parks does. I know the county does the parks, the city does the parks, what's the Parks Foundation? And so I think we need to spread the word that there are projects that are good projects that neither the county nor the city nor the other municipalities can fund. And then they come to us. So we're in essence Parks Plus. We're the plus part of Parks. And I think the more you can help us in terms of really becoming a member, it is such a low cost, such a low threshold, and it's tax deductible. And come to our events, and I know your address is for Parks, so spread the word. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me just say that your events are always, the children events are very focused on children. The children always love it. So when you go, you're actually having a great time. But in the same
sense. You're healthy. So I love those double whammies where, because we've all been to the boring events that you go to or buy a ticket and don't even bother going to just because you want to help the group. Let me tell you, every event I've ever been to that Parks Foundation has done has been superior. Just a
it's
really
even
good
our
time.
Luncheon. It's fun.
Yeah, if you don't make people cry.
Well, and
well, she always does something about Florence or something, you know. And
it's getting to see the cities actually walk up on the stage and get the money that they can walk out the door and start their project right then. And I think that's really exciting.
That
and
is
I
exciting.
Apologize. I have a 2 o'clock that I have to get to.
Well, we're glad you took time for us today.
Very AWOL at the evening. Thanks for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. So moving right along, I guess we'll turn it over to Jean and the Jets.
Not as good as Five Guys named Mo. So, last month, we had discussions about gearing up the community engagement, public involvement element of this, making sure we were asking the right questions, putting together the survey, getting the website up to snuff. And a lot of discussion was about, do we want to engage CDTV, do we want to make video clips, the degree and level of public involvement. So that's what we've dedicated today for. Let's get that moving and make sure that that's integrated with our assumptions about the schedule for completion and how that ties in with the county's comp plan. We're sort of on our independent but concurrent track and hopefully finishing well before the county's comp plan piece. So those are the two things that are on your agenda. And basically we have the two experts who are going to take us through that, both the scheduling, which is on this calendar in your packet, and then the actual engagement, the tools, the questions to be asked. There's a you know about the community survey because that was in your binder from a year and a half ago when both park districts or both park departments were together when they did that community survey. What of that do we want to repeat or reinforce? And then there was the additional 10 questions that you got, I think, in your packet.
The newer members of this board would not have that information.
Which information?
Would not have that, what you're saying about a year or so ago, the questions that were given.
Oh, it's in your binder.
It's in here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's in your binder. Yeah, it was the community survey.
I didn't bring it, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
I just wanted to make sure they had access to it.
Yeah, so it's also, I think, available on the web. So it looks like this.
Okay.
That was in the fall of 2013. And those were overarching questions about the system and do you use it and what do you like about it and what would be your priorities and do you visit a certain trail or park or that sort of thing. So very, very broad-based, generalized, but some were starting to focus in a little. And I don't know that we want to do the same thing all over again because it's kind of expensive to do it and it doesn't give you really specific information unless you start to dive down into if you were to prioritize, if you had $100, how much of that would you give to trails or sports fields or maintenance or, whatever the choices might be. So I think part of what we want to do today is look at the overall, goal of how much engagement you want. If we have a short term in which we want to try to get this plan done, what are the key questions you want to be able to ask or key feedback that you need from the community? And then some of the tools in which we go about trying to get all that. And then look at the schedule, make sure everybody's good on the schedule. And the other big piece is going to be roles and responsibilities. Who's doing what? How many of you can go to which open houses or meet with which particular stakeholder groups that you know of or that you're tied in with? So it's just a lot of stuff, and we want to make sure we get that all sorted out today. Any questions on that? Just quick brief overview.
Where in the reference material was that now?
So
I know I was looking at it, and now I
yeah, in your actual binder, I don't remember what page it's on. It's its own little
Can I
divvy it up?
Can I ask you one question?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that concerned me when I encountered one of the surveys out at, I think it was that
in a reference area.
I don't even remember where. In a park.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I
was that Those weren't the people that I wanted to hear from. I want to know why people who don't use the parks don't use them.
Okay, that's a critical question.
I think that's really important. Reviewing what we already know to be true doesn't really help me much.
Okay.
I really need to know why we're not using them. And what, if you're not, why aren't you? I mean, maybe you're just too busy. That's fine. That's an acceptable answer. But I think that's something we need to look at. Because it seemed to me like it was just kind of, they got feedback that they wanted to hear. Okay? Because it was done in a place.
Sure. If you do it where the users are already there, you've already got,
I don't know where you go to get that question answered. Maybe it's more public, more in the mall, in the, you know, downtown. I don't know where you go to get those answers, to get those people, but there's a lot of people in this area that are not using parks, and we know that. So let's find out why.
Okay.
Just like you.
So that's a good area of focus. The one thing I will say that we weren't planning on doing for this particular comp plan update was that when the old department did this survey. It was an independent survey, is my understanding. That was a telephone survey, so it was statistically across.
They also were out in the parks doing surveys.
Maybe they skipped that one.
Yeah, I think this was a self-selecting online survey. You invite people to participate.
Because the one where we would get the folks that aren't users that's statistically accurate is you have 200 or 400, and it's a random survey, and that's when you start to get a lot of the folks that, I don't use it because I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can get valuable information there, but of course it does cost money to do a scientific poll.
Yeah, money and time.
Before we go on any further, I'm going to pass this around so we can take a look at this. I find this sheet to be very helpful anytime we're talking about a public participation campaign. And a lot of what you're going to see here is nothing groundbreaking, but it's helpful in terms of framing what you are trying to do. And I don't know if I should give people just a few seconds to digest this or walk you through it. Basically, it's the whole idea that there is a spectrum in how you involve people. On the short end, if I will, of the spectrum, it's simply informing people, telling people what's going on. On the opposite end, where you have almost full public participation, it's empowering people, telling people, we essentially want you to make the decisions, and we're going to implement what decision you make. If you look at each of these, you can see some of the promises you make to the public, and you can also see some of the techniques that you use. Now, I want to stress that this is a very general guideline. This isn't like, okay, we're going to pick this one, and we have to do everything precisely that way. No, you see some morphing of techniques and such. My own personal opinion, and I'd love to hear from the group on this, is that I think we're pretty much on kind of like the consult technique here, the goal of that, and that is that we're going to go out, we're going to get feedback. It's going to be much more than just simply telling people what we're going to do. But it's certainly not all the way to the other end of the spectrum where we're going to ask people, okay, you make the decision. Because in all honesty, we are faced with constraints here.
Now, Jean, I understood that they formed, and maybe I know I'm getting old. They formed committees, and they had folks come in and volunteer. The reason I know that is I had a friend of mine who was interested in the softball fields.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them come in into the sports area, and they were discussing what they wanted to see in the plan. Whatever happened to all of that input?
So that is on the table in terms of, I know it's a part of what we've suggested as part of our scope, to be able to say we will have focused stakeholder groups, like a trails group and the youth sports group or the overall sports field facility kind of, you know, recreation group.
Right.
So that there are focused stakeholder groups where you bring those particular groups in and say, you know, beyond the overarching, we know you're interested in sports fields.
Yeah.
What do you think the highest priorities are? You know, is it more fields or better scheduling or more efficiency or artificial turf, all season play or lighting or, you know, or types of fields, we need more lacrosse and less football or
whatever,
middle league or whatever. So that's part of it. That is on the table. And At this point, it would be very helpful if some of you have specific identified groups or stakeholders you want to make sure are included in that process. I mean, the obvious ones would be, you know, the overall sort of sports, outdoor recreation stuff. Another one that sort of self-identifies is trails. But it could spread into other entities like all the dog owners and off-leash and dog paw and whatever, because OLA or off-leash areas are, that's a big thing with a lot of people. Skate parks are another, like there are some phases of additional skate parks that maybe want to be addressed. I mean, it could go on and on, but you really want to focus. Like we have limited resources. What are the top?
I just wondered if one had come of that.
Yeah, nothing became of it, really.
Nothing
so,
became.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except it's being proposed. That's being proposed for this bulk of work that we want to start.
Because they formed those groups.
They being like a year and a half ago?
On the other commission.
Yeah.
My understanding was that those groups were formed.
And we could look at those groups. We could look at their groups and say, well, which of those apply to the county?
Yeah.
That'd be easy enough. But I don't want to miss something by assuming that.
No, I'm understanding that, but I don't want to redo stuff that's already been done.
And that too,
So
and we could ask the city for the content that they got out of those groups.
I'd be interested.
If it's not obvious in the comp plan where you sort of summarize it all, then certainly I can talk to the city park planner and say, what did you guys get out of those specific focus groups?
And I'm not trying to be nitpicky. I don't want us to get down to the minutiae here.
Right.
I want to keep it broad, but yet I still think all that work that's been done has to be of some value somewhere.
Yeah.
Except for the consultant work that was done. Never mind. We won't go there.
I mean,
it's okay.
Not yours.
Don't these surveys have an expiration date? I mean, isn't it some of the information is just not relevant? Being that, you know, 10 years has gone by. I mean, that's a whole different demographic that's interested in.
Well, that's why you do a comp plan update, your park's comp plan update, supposedly every 6 or 7 years.
Right.
Because things have changed a lot, demographics have changed, trends have changed, et cetera. So,
what I was referring to, like the spectrum of participation, as far as receiving data back, right? And that's what you're talking about is you were mentioning what I was hearing was that you're talking about some of the issues of some of the difficulties of surveying people. Is that accurate or no?
I'm not quite sure I'm tracking you.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I was thinking that there's some difficulty in surveying what the public needs and wants.
There absolutely is difficulty in surveying people to get at what Marcia was talking about. It requires basically a scientific polling. Randomly selected sample, scientifically valid. And then you also, there's obviously some value, and I like your question, absolutely. But at the same time, too, it's important to remember that you do have stakeholders for a reason. They are the people who are using your park system. They're the people who are engaged in your community on these issues as well, too.
But I'm interested in those that aren't using it.
Yes. And then the final thing that I would add, too, is that it's important not necessarily to go to the people you already know what they're going to say. For example, I could go to sports leagues, and obviously I'm going to hear we need more sports fields.
Right.
Sure, sports fields. That's a big thing.
Yeah, and it's real easy to load your questions that way. I really think that what you say has to be a consideration. I mean, we do care about the people that are there. We do also care about why people aren't there. But when you want to get really good answers on where we're headed, it's got to be to draw in the people that aren't there as well as support the people that do use it.
My main objective was to use the information we already have. Let's find out how much we already have.
Yeah.
How much has really been done, and what value you put on it. Like I said, I would not value all that work that was done. I don't know how to diplomatically state this, but I just, you know.
Okay, do you question its validity? Is that what you mean?
I question the ability to connect with a community that you are not familiar with.
Okay.
And that's what happened.
The context just may be different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. But I know
I do know that questions are difficult to even I mean, they're very difficult to formulate. Mm-hmm. Going through the example one, I know that a couple of them, I couldn't even figure out what the question was,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the ranking here or whatever?
Okay.
And so little things, little nuances actually get you the incorrect answer. People have to guess at what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, surveys are always difficult.
Yeah.
So just to throw this out, and maybe this is just for later, but just brainstorming. What about, I don't even know. So if I'm looking to go on a trail, let's say 8 caves, right? I go up to the 8 caves. I look at reviews. What reviewers say about when I go online, go to websites to talk about the 8 caves. I read what people say. You know, hey, break headlamps. You know, don't go left, go right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bonked my head. Watch out for this thing. You know, where it's those things. You know, that have the. You know, you can kind of feel. Those are just some great places to. To gather data, even if it is.
It's also an opportunity to reach out to people by posting information there as well, too.
Right. Okay.
Do we have anyone in parks that goes out and posts to blog spots? I'm thinking a lot of celebrities have got someone hired just to do that, right?
Just blogging is, that's a good job. You and I both could do that.
Yeah.
One of us can prove that.
I know that when it was VCPRD, they started a Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And it does take staff time to keep it going and post things. I have no idea where that is at this moment, and I don't think the county uses that as even a tool.
We have a fairly limited social media presence right now.
Parks.
Public Works has its own Twitter account.
Yes.
And the Parks Volunteer Program also has a Twitter account as well, too. But I'm not aware of any blogging or anything like that that's going on in parks.
Oh, okay.
And I would hope that I would know about it if it was going on.
Well, and that's why I ask, because I don't know of any.
Yeah.
Or even working with
and I think what Adam brings up a good point that maybe even us on the commission here's an opportunity of how we can impact by making a presence known, by getting out and doing some posting, making Clark County trails maybe a little bit more visible.
I can't even get my email, please.
Oh, okay.
So,
I certainly can't use my phone. So go on.
So I'm rabbit trailing. Thank you. I really like the idea of going into a Sportsman's Warehouse, for instance, in up 112. And you go in there, first thing you see on the right-hand side is a list of, you guys ever been in there? A list of all the different lakes and rivers. And say, right now, according as of, 6:30 a.m. on, the 9th of January, kokanee are biting, and they're biting worms. You know what I'm saying? So it's instant.
I'm with you, Jane. Let's go.
Where there's something to be said about, hey, garbage is full at this park. You know what I'm saying? Where it says it's live, one place you go to for live updates. Hey, I was just hiking Mount St. Helens, and 3/4 of the way up, there's a huge tree that fell over.
Right.
That kind of thing, where it's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Trails,
that kind
of helpful.
It's
financial.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's nice on those things, so you have to kind of make sure what's posted is for readable for everybody.
Sure.
And not, some things shouldn't be put on social media, those types of things. So you definitely have to have somebody that's going to monitor. And
you just want that one stop, that one place to go.
Yeah.
You want to put a staff person in that position.
So I'm just
going to be
Yeah. It takes some
but that's a good thought to hold in mind.
Yeah. Once you ask,
is getting a better social presence.
Beyond just the county's website?
Sure.
Yeah.
Are we looking at putting this out then, or are you? What do you want to do with that?
No, that's just a sample of survey ideas.
Okay.
What are we? What's more important isn't whether or not I had city in there, or urban, or public, or whatever, in the park.
Yeah.
Not that. It's what information do we need to inform the decisions and recommendations that need to come along through the comp plan, that really needs to come from the community.
Yeah.
That's more the critical question. And then the big piece that Jeff's going to help us with, both Jeffs actually, is How do we get that? Engagement from the community to inform this planning process.
So I'll just throw out something that we've done at Vancouver Public Schools is we developed our own app. And in our own app, we have a very clear 5 or 6 buttons on the front. Phone numbers, contact, calendars, snow routes, snow days.
Done. The top information that people want.
Yes. The key information that people want. Our PIO office keeps it updated. It's a pretty simple looking piece. There's a message from your superintendent every month if you so choose to have that. Bus routes, sports. So, you know, everything's there, and then it links back into our website. So if people are wanting to look at the sports and need to know what forms to fill out, it's going to take them back to our website and they can get all that information. So we've found this really helpful. And this is where we have our Twitter and we have our YouTube.
Do you know about what the cost for something like that is?
We did it internally.
You know, there's a good opportunity to ask for a grant from the foundation. Seriously.
What's that? Say what?
Place to ask for a grant.
It's a great grant from the Parks Foundation for all parks to be able to have an app.
Absolutely.
It really is.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
But you do have to have your PIO office or someone in charge of making sure. But it's all linked through their job and through their websites. If you're updating your website, it's part of that process, you know. We find it extremely helpful. Notifications to parents, things like that are all working.
That would be wonderful for us to have, you know.
Yeah,
reservations for things, you push a button and it links you to the same as the website.
Yeah. It's like, how do you get a principal's name at a school? Right there, principal's name, contact information, click it, email, you're there.
Yeah, who doesn't know Lupitas, though?
That's
right. You don't know.
So anyway, I just throw that out as an idea.
The other thing I would like to ask about is this board is made up of people from and of all different opinions. I may not value neighborhood parks. I may value something else, regional park, whatever. Chris, you may value.
I spend about 26 weekends a year here. So
exactly.
I guess
that's kind of where I kind of, and listening to all this is where I'm getting to is this. What else do you need to know than what you can find out here? Because we don't all advocate for the same things. And if you haven't realized that yet, you're going to find that out.
No, well, I think that the reason that you all have been selected, as you've been selected,
is because
you represent all these different views. And that's ideal.
Yes.
Are you comfortable, I'll ask this sort of as a devil's advocate, are you comfortable feeling like you represent this body of people without going back and talking to them?
No.
About whatever the issue is.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a really key point, Jane, because I know that for me, because you all know I have my own personal biases and I'm not afraid to share them, but I also, from a lot of my work in the neighborhoods, have learned that the value is in listening to those people, because I value this, they value that. And somewhere, you've got to be able to represent both. And as members of this board, it really is one of our responsibilities to be a park advocate. That means when you go to a neighborhood meeting, or you're at the St. Patty's thing, and you're gabbing about parks there or whatever, that you listen to what people say so that you can represent not just your view. Because it's too easy. I mean, that's one of the things that we'll talk about a little later if we have time, is our own little neighborhoods and our own little vision, and that the real strength of this group is exactly the diversity that you're talking about, Marcia. That's the strength that we
because
come together to bring.
I think I represent several, and as you do, several different perspectives. I'm a very much senior citizen, probably the most senior, limited income, limited use of parks, special interest in dogs, that kind of thing. If you went around this table, I am sure that we could all tell you this is kind of our spectrum. It isn't a specific interest. It's a different perspective from each one of us, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying that my perspective on it is going to be different than yours.
Absolutely.
Because of where I am in my life space.
Sure.
This young man's perspective is going to be entirely different than mine. And I think that's where you're going to get the most of your information. Really, no matter what your survey says, when you come back here to fight it out, that's where it's going to end up.
I'm
not sure how much more. If we get the information from what was already done, I don't know how much more you need.
Well, let me just add one other thought to that, though, Marcia, because from my experience, the public's perception of the functioning of government, which we are perceived to be, you hear a lot about transparency. You get a lot of criticism when decisions are made without the public being consulted. If they feel that we have moved forward and made decisions without holding the public open houses and such, the backlash, even if the decisions are really good and can stand on their own merit, if we haven't reached out and asked for their input, that in and of itself almost invalidates whatever we come up with. That's my perspective. And that's where...
But I feel like we've been asking these questions for a long time.
Absolutely.
Well, so one of the aspects is that the questions have been asked, but from a different venue.
Yes.
And now as a separate county parks entity to establish your own identity. The other piece that I think is just as important is establishing a renewed or reinforced relationship with all these different user groups, stakeholder groups, whatever, with your identities clearly as, you know, these PAB members representing the policies and future direction of the park and establishing a relationship with them. So that piece comes, I think, to where you were headed, Barbara, where when it comes time to make a decision or have a vote or make some decision that's going to impact people's taxes, what you pay, all those things, if everyone's in the dark until that moment, then the story hasn't been told well enough for it to be a happy ending. So the big part of it is that's part of the getting involved. I can get involved in a lot of plans, and I might not agree with how they get to the end. But if I was involved, I may understand how. I don't necessarily agree, but I understand how they got there, and I can acknowledge it. And still, I could vote one way or another, but you're still part of it.
So is it possible to kind of set the stage for, as a new, since the divorce, to set the stage for the county to create a system, whether it is through, instead of creating something, creating a way of harnessing data, right? We're talking about data. We need data from individuals, right? We need opinions, right? We're talking, if that's what you're referring to, we want further information. The old information is good, but to kind of go forward, you almost need to create something that is harnessable that you can use for the next 15, 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Like the go-to, this is we collect data when people purchase a driver's license. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or there's something where it's a consistent flow of information.
Some mechanism that...
Right, where it's
regularly collected.
Right.
That's been a big gap in the system for a long time. It used to be that the fee collectors in the booths at the regional parks would be counting how many people were in that car, how many cars came by, and how was the weather relative to the number of users, and those types of things.
Okay.
So that was one place to collect data. Sure. Other times we've had traffic counters.
I wasn't necessarily referring to that. I think that could be done.
Well, the other place would have been the rec centers, where
they do collect some data.
Constantly they collect because they have memberships. And they collect all this demographic data. Where are these people coming from? What are they signed up for? What are their ages? How many in the family? Blah, blah, blah. And because County Parks doesn't have rec centers, doesn't have access to that kind of level of participation.
I wasn't necessarily referring to that. I was referring to, opinion, as opposed to, how many people are actually showing up.
Oh, okay.
Where it's a little bit more dynamic, where it's like... I come here to play soccer. It would be great to have a soccer field, or at least goalpost, or something where it's that kind of dynamic of
where there's a a way of communicating.
But that dynamic you wouldn't have, maybe I misunderstood, the next 15 to 20 years, because it's constantly changing.
You're right.
The opinion piece is what's constantly
changing. That's my point.
Okay.
That's my
point.
Because you know, we live in a dynamic county, right? It's constantly mm-hmm. ebbing and flowing. You're like, wow, we're getting more complaints on the east side mm-hmm. of seagulls. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just like,
right.
All right, let's figure that out. And then, right. you know, hey, we're got more people wanting a boat launch over mm-hmm. here. You know, where it's this dynamic where right. you're constantly putting out fires. I mean, that's really what, mm-hmm. right? Squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing, I suppose.
So I guess what we need to know from you is, what do you want to know from us right now? You feel like we're still in the consulting phase of this particular document that you gave us, but you still feel you need to get the public feedback. And by the way, I do agree with your idea of authenticating this board to the public in general.
Yes, stakeholder groups and other users.
That's kind of important. That hasn't been done.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you're at the point now where you want to do more of that, is that correct? Get more public feedback.
Yes, and we have a schedule mapped out, and Jean probably can talk about that a little bit more, about some of our ideas for that. I'm not sure some of the things that we've been kicking around really get at what you brought up at the beginning about getting at the people who aren't using the system.
I mentioned the telephone
pole. I'm not sure that's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
There are some other possibilities that we might even be able to do. Just thinking out loud, for example, farmers market's going to start up in a couple of months.
Yeah.
We could be there, for example, just talking to people and such. Of course, there's a park right next door. You still have a different strata of the population going to that, but that is one way to expose yourself to quite a few people who may not be in the user groups you have already identified. You know,
And the most important question of all is, how much are you willing to pay for this? If you had $100, that's a terrific question, by the way. How would you like to see it allocated?
Yeah.
Because as far as my demographic group goes, and that's a critical question. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to pay those fees and what have you, taxes and whatever for Marshall and the other places, I'd live in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I don't live in Vancouver for a reason, or I don't live in Battleground mm-hmm. for a reason. Yeah. Sometimes that's a financial reason.
That's one of the most important questions from my perspective, for getting feedback in a community that helps you then rank, okay, if we're putting together a capital facilities plan that's proposed, and we don't have enough money to go as far as what everybody says they want,
right.
then we've prioritized. Okay,
we
in this many years, we're doing the top priorities, and we can do only this much of them.
Yeah.
But then it shows directly that, well, you have responded to what the general public or even your specific user groups have asked for. You can't respond to the degree that everyone wants because you don't have the resources. But, you know, with that prioritizing, it gives you direction. And that's really the helpful piece.
When I went to one of the CTRAN feedback mm-hmm. sessions, I have to say that was the best question that they asked, was giving us that dollar.
Sure.
Because one of the key things is, yeah, we all want champagne.
Sure. But we want $10,000 instead of $100.
Yeah, exactly.
On a beer budget.
And this question forces people to do exactly yes. that prioritization.
Okay, good.
So a couple other thoughts. One of the group, bar none, that knows the parks best are the guys that are maintaining them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very strongly we need to make sure we're including staff, all staff, on that, because they know it. They know exactly what's going on, and they're often ones, you know, if you don't have somebody standing at a gate, it's the guy on the mower that often gets stopped to hear the complaints too.
You're right.
That's true. So there's that piece. The other piece that I want to circle back to is it really surprises me that we don't have a stronger online presence. Talking about the groups that may not be using it and they're being left out, and you're leaving out everybody below the age of 40. So if developing something as part of this plan can start leading toward a better online presence, you could be killing two birds with one stone, and a really important bird to kill.
Just to be clear, when you say an online presence, you're referring
social media, to Facebook, you? Twitter, etc.
Also,
yeah.
Just a dynamic, I don't know, dynamic website.
Right.
That's yeah. Incorporates all
a nice that. App, whatever. Yeah.
Incorporates all the re, you know, like. I mean, I think this came in my mind where it has regional parks, city parks, doing, you know, everything is just flash.
I think the suggestion of the grant proposal was excellent.
Actually,
I can't think
very
of no better
nice
way
thought.
To do yeah. Fantastic for all the parks yeah. involved.
Yeah, you could also just piggyback on Vancouver and say, all right.
how
did you do that?
Dream on.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, you know, even just visually, not to criticize the county's website, but it is really kind of dry.
It's not user friendly.
It is, yeah, not user friendly or enticing. So even that needs a little facelift.
What would be great is on the app, you just go, I want to make a reservation. Doesn't yeah. care if your city doesn't
well, that's
care
what
if
I said.
County,
reservations.
Care.
Well, there's no reason why you
right?
couldn't.
We don't
but
have
the discovery about. Guide, that's all that's the like. Trails, you know, some yeah. of the things that Adam brought up, Push, I want to find out where the trails are, you know, or the waterways.
Sounds
I mean,
like
all those things
again.
Could connect into something like that. That would be, any rate, but we digress.
So a combination of social media and digital or mobile
yeah.
Applications.
Yeah.
So
it can't be the end all be all because not everybody is that mm-hmm. knowledgeable.
Shut up.
I know even me and I spent my whole
You're
life in the tech
me.
No, I've spent my whole life in the tech world. I was working computers when they were nothing but old tubes and toggle switches. And my new phone, I'm ready to throw it out the window.
Yeah, I know one of those.
So we gotta have other means too, but I think that is we got to move to the new century, which is now.
So
maybe this is
so my one sense is that this certainly seems like a recommendation that would be part of the comp plan's recommendations.
Yes.
And that seems pretty easy.
I think so too.
How much of this or things that are equivalent are, should be applied to this current comp plan process, which we're hoping is kind of done in the next 6 months? And realistically, I don't know that we're going to get it.
No,
mobile app going and get the county counselors to say, yes, we love Facebook and parks can have their own Facebook account and, you know, whatever. But we do have some other tools that can be used for the comp plan that get people in and out of parks issues and get them used to, you know, blogs about what they like, answering a question. You know, how would you prioritize the next 20 years of what do you want to see the park system look like in 20 years? What improvements or connections or gaps? Something. Now, I'm making these questions up. It's out of my head. But you have a key question. And that goes out. There's a software called Mind Mixer. And there's one called Peak Democracy. Both of which are ones that are used by a lot of jurisdictions to be able to get people to engage on very specific topics. They're not as broad-based as Facebook.
Peak democracy.
And I think we have links.
Like
you
ask questions to it?
You set up like a main question and then people answer those
okay.
questions and then the following week maybe it's a different question.
Okay.
And you can send that out as an email blast. You can get it out in press releases to say, come, you know, check this out.
Is it like SurveyMonkey?
You can have SurveyMonkey on it, links to it. It's not really like SurveyMonkey because you can answer it.
Yes.
It's
oh,
more
it's
of a blog.
Oh, it's more of a blog. Okay.
But
it's
Mind
more interactive.
Mixer,
okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Mind Mixer can actually give you data on how people answered.
Cool.
And Peak Democracy is much more about people answering and giving. I mean, that's a little bit of...
In 5 years, those will all be gone. It'll be something new.
Oh, yeah, it'll be totally
well,
new. But
two
what,
years
talk,
be
what we're talking
new.
About is
sure.
this type of tool
yeah.
for
yeah.
the next 5 months or the next 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, get that in and get people engaged in a different way.
So then we would do that just... So we would do that for like 3 months and then take all the data from what they've said. And then
yeah, that would be feeding us, yes.
Okay.
And it would be feeding us kind of in a constant fashion. Of
mm-hmm.
You'd only spend a couple of weeks on one topic.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all about trails. You know, what are the gaps? What are your key trails? How do you love to use them? I'm not sure what the question would be.
Yeah.
And very simple question. And whatever that triggers for them, they're going to give you feedback.
And part of my point is, you know, say we go with Mind Mixer
mm-hmm.
and are doing something with that. It shouldn't stop with the comp plan. You know, the society doesn't work that way anymore. It needs to be, this needs to be the start of something that's continuing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know whether or not those specific tools are really
and that, yeah, I know nothing
thing.
About that, but point being.
But another, yeah, I think they do need to have a better.
Let me jump in on a couple of things real quickly here, because there was talk of the county website. The county does have long-term plans to completely redo its website, but I want to underscore long-term. And in all honesty, it will not be completed by the time we are completing the comp plan update. The whole idea of civic engagement, I believe I mentioned this the last time this group met, is the old traditional way of doing public involvement was like, well, we're calling an open house, you come to us, at our time we said, you talk to us right there. The whole idea behind civic engagement is that we're essentially going to people through the web, through cyber, whatever you want to call it, having an online discussion. They can get involved whenever they want, wherever they want, hopefully not while they're driving on their mobile phone, but the idea is that you are going to them electronically as opposed to making them come to you. The final thing I wanted to mention about online civic engagement is that you have to still have, it's not just a matter of launching it and there it is, tell us what you think. No, you need to know how to reach out to people, you need to have email addresses, and then you have to have content that is going to make them want to get involved, and you have to keep on feeding the content. It can't just be simply, what do you think, and some people reply, and that's it, and then it just sits there. And I think we've all probably seen things like that happen. They get launched with a lot of hoopla, and that was the highlight of it.
The other thing that we want to make sure we do is you've also got to respond. You know, if there are a lot of comments about a certain subject, then some response needs to be formulated that answers the question. Or you know, not just kicking the can down the road, but says, this is how we're taking this information, this is how it's being applied, this is when you can expect to see some results, or if you can expect to see some kind of feedback, or people feel
but
like...
But the problem I have is I agree with you. The only way that, you know, we're having this display, you know, come and tell us what you think of parts, who comes?
Not
but along those
lines,
have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeff
for
made
people
it.
People who want to have, sorry, right. who are involved in parks. Mm-hmm. That's not
right.
Who you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But along the line of that thought, I think Jeff made a good point that instead of having them come to us, that one of the things we need to shift the mindset on is us making outreach, I think, to them. And I'm thinking specifically of a lot of different organizations, like the sports club when they meet. They have a board that meets for us to go to them and ask to do a presentation for them. Not only going to NAC, which is your Neighborhood Association of Clark County, although that only hits 26 of the neighborhoods. There are 66 in the city, and they're part of Clark County too. And they don't hold meetings, but not just there, but going down to the neighborhood groups, because a lot of times information that's passed at NAC doesn't have the trickle-down effect that you want of doing that real outreach, but taking time to attend one of their meetings. And I think that having a representative from our group attend those, maybe with one staff member or without a staff member, if we had even just a little PowerPoint that was put together to do a dog and pony show, that doing this public outreach where we go to that group instead of asking them to come to us, that a lot of times that proactive approach probably would get more engagement than sitting at the mall asking passers-by or putting a notice in the... I mean, look at the comp plan meetings we held. The only people you really saw there were couple of neighbors, and the rest were all either staff people or people on this board. So I think being proactive, going to those organizations, or like I was thinking right now, why haven't I gone to my mom's group and said, I want to talk to you about parks? I did talk them into adopting a park, but yeah, I think that we can probably do a lot of things that we hadn't thought about.
The edge with the digital technology, we talked about this the other day, about you turn on Channel 8, it's grants in Oregon, the Oregon guy Grant McComey, He basically runs around all of Oregon, visits parks, and he takes a video of it. You know, it's like the crickets chirping and the little screams. I mean, that doesn't take. It's, yeah, I guess you would call that reality TV, right? Where, I mean, it's cheap, right? It's very cheap.
Because he has a full camera crew.
No. I'm talking, these guys go out. The majority of the show is literally birds chirping, water flowing, guys, you know, with climbing, you know, it's just...
Sounds like a great AmeriCorps project.
It's
going to turn some birds on.
You know, whereas it's you know, a half-hour show of people using the park system. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's like, you know, I walk my dog every day on this park, and I see all sorts of wildlife. Cool.
I see all
kinds
of stuff.
So one of the things that we discussed last month was getting CBTV to produce clips, anywhere from 30-second clip to a 3-minute clip, if we have the patience for 3 minutes, that related to parks and trails and the subjects that we're dealing with in the comp plan, and they could be designed in a couple different ways, and I'll throw some out at you, but tell me others. One is just to ask people the question, why do we plan? If it's critical about this time for the next 4 to 5 months, why plan? Why is it important to do an update of a plan? You know, what difference does it make? Now, that would be one subject where you're telling people, well, because I want my grandchildren to be able to have a park here, or I want this trail to go all the way through, or whatever. So it could be just a trigger to, and that's probably the 30-second one, that gets people to understand, oh, that's what a comp plan does for us. It makes us eligible for getting grant money, and it prioritizes budgetary spending, and it means that certain things will get done that are priorities that reflect our choices.
One of the problems with all of this is you're not talking to people who are not involved with parks. You're not talking to people who could care less whether you plan.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter to me. If it doesn't affect my taxes and it doesn't keep me from my job, then I'm fine with it. I'm not going to bother with it, is what I'm saying. So what we need to do is have questions and like the one you asked about, if you had $100, how would you want to see it allocated? Mm-hmm. That's a question I might pay attention to.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Get more down on the level of folks who are not necessarily or don't necessarily have anything to win or lose, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think so. And I think there's room for...
There's room
certainly
for both.
There's room for both, because on certain audiences, they're going to ask, why should I care?
Yeah.
So, well, if you don't care and you have no feedback and no input, then you're not... It's like saying, why do I care what the election turns out? I'm not going to vote.
The other question I have is, why CBTV? You realize that there are multitudes of areas in the county that are not even...
Well, if they produce a YouTube... Then
yes,
we distribute that
might work, yeah.
Everywhere. Well, I mean, they would create for us a 30-second clip
right.
That we can link to the website, and you guys could email to everybody,
yeah.
And could be emailed beyond, and you could use in a PowerPoint or any kind of presentation in front of NAC or a sports group or
right. The
Silver Sneakers walking group while you're on a hike or whatever, so that there's these easy little tools that answer those harder questions through really powerful graphic story, somebody saying something, answering a question, seeing the kid on the playground, looking at the folks walking their dog, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, it's not just limited to their publication.
And let me add a little
to that.
Because
yes.
Jean is absolutely right. All the CBTV videos are turned into YouTube videos. We can post those on the website. We can send out links. We can encourage people on email distribution lists. Use your own private Facebook pages to send these out. The more buzz, the more churn you get, the better. But the other thing that, in all honesty, why CBTV? Quite frankly, because they will do it.
They will
I
do
would
it.
Love
quickly,
to call up every TV station in Portland and say, would you do a 3 to 5 minute clip on this? But I think I would be wasting my time.
You might have an in for you there on one of those.
One thing that, and I don't know because I'm a Facebook user, I know not everybody is. Like, for example, my dad, I mentioned Facebook and he wouldn't have ideas. So I think we have to be able to reach out to, you know, all groups. So I think that's important. But the other thing is, you know, you get these push things on Facebook to where it comes out, for example, the school district my grandkids are in, I get like push notices from that school, mm-hmm. and I can like the page and then I can get information. Mm-hmm. That seems to me like a good tool for to reach some of mm-hmm. some of the community. It's not all of it, I understand it, but that just seems like a good way to do it, because I know we can get that done by somebody else. It wouldn't mm-hmm. have to be staff to do it, and you can put parameters on those and they'll do it for you, and it's not real expensive.
Yeah.
And so that might be one way we could do it, because people will go on there and then open the link, mm-hmm. and then they answer, you know, it's like those, I don't know, silly questions, you know, what's your personality color? And, you know, people do those things all day long. So, you know, you could have something like that that's mm-hmm. going to draw people to say, hey, you know, we want you to put about parks and trails, and then they open it up and they can answer it and then send it back. But things like that I don't think would be too much, because mm-hmm. I've looked into it on a business aspect, and it's not really expensive to do. And then maybe the other demographic that we need to reach out to that doesn't do Facebook, maybe we should concentrate on, you know, maybe something that we could reach them more. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I think there's some easy social media things that we can do that's not very expensive, that you're going to reach to people that maybe don't use parks, and they'll open up the link, and then you got to have something that grabs them, that makes them interested. And I agree, 30 seconds is way better than 3 minutes, because I'm one of those people, if it's longer than that, I'm not going to waste my time.
It has to be extremely engaging.
Yeah, so, you know, someone's going to grab them and stuff.
Would that be good?
No.
I just think something like that would be able to reach a lot of people, and then if we can concentrate on some ways to get people that aren't going to get on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I think the most effective campaign is going to use the broadest set of tools available. You're going to try to do a little bit of everything, and hope that in doing so you create something that truly permeates in the community. And I'm going to be very honest, it's not always easy. A lot of people are very busy. A lot of people aren't particularly interested in getting involved or being asked about what their opinions are.
Would it be good for us then to make a recommendation of some avenues that we would recommend and then have staff look at it? I mean, I could sit here and say the push on Facebook would be great, mm-hmm. but the county might come back and say, well, we don't want to do that, or we can't afford it, or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But I kind of feel like we're just going around in circles.
Yeah, it may be helpful to take the sheet that's in your packet. That's the public involvement outreach.
Just the one pager.
It's just the one pager. And look at that, because that's sort of our assumptions now, as of prior to the discussion we've already had today, of what the objectives would be, what are some of the generalized target audiences, what are going to be the tools that would be used. And then there's specifics have been ones that you folks have mentioned, but, you know, doing a Facebook, and could we do a mobile app? And you know, they may be longer term processes. At the very bottom of that page, the one that says online civic engagement, that's the one where the two tools I mentioned, the Mind Mixer and the Peak Democracy, would be used. But it's basically a palette for us to try to, you know, paint this picture of getting everybody involved as much as possible.
Well, because to me we have two things we're looking at. One is to get input right away so we can do the comp plan within the next 6 months, but mm-hmm. then also it's been brought up that we need a long-term way for people to communicate.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Well, I think the message has been real clear today from all of us that we all agree that social media engagement has got to start being more visible.
Well, I think that's a valid recommendation to say that there's this gap between this very extensive and pretty cool infrastructure that can provide a lot of things for a lot of people, and there's a whole segment of the population that doesn't know it's there. I mean, if I look back at that community survey of whenever it was, November 2013, the primary reason that people didn't use parks, trails, and whatever, they didn't have time. Mm-hmm. But one of the top answers was, I don't know where they are. I don't know what's available to me. I don't remember if that was second or third, but it's in there. And then there's those who say, I'm not interested. I don't like the outdoors. It's rainy. It's buggy or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm getting two different things here. One is I've sensed some commitment from this group, or at least Barbara said yes, that you're willing to be involved in stakeholder-focused kind of group meetings, representing at maybe neighborhood meetings, maybe going to open houses, although the ideal there would be to try to trigger the need to show, like, why am I going? What am I going to get there that I'm not getting online? And maybe the biggest piece is always have the online alternative, because if they're not going to go either way, we want that content. I'm trying to summarize some of the stuff we've been talking about.
I'll just jump in very quickly and say that I think it is important to have an engagement by this body. You have a lot of credibility in the community. You can go out and speak to people, and they will pay attention. I think we probably all have seen online reviews of hotels, what have you, and you see some of the things people post, you would think that, you know, boy, this person really has an axe to grind or something. But I can tell you that surveys have indicated that people are far more likely to believe online reviews than they are traditional TV advertising or anything like that. Why? Because to them, it has a sense of legitimacy to it. It's from everyday folk like they are. And that's why it's important.
Can we just take one little minute before Marsha leaves to go over the calendar?
Yeah, that was
and some of our meetings.
I'm sorry. Make sure this looks good.
She needs to leave. And,
okay.
And I see here that there's a meeting for Monday.
The comp plan team meeting would be those of us who get directions.
Oh, I was
going to
say, because I did not have that on my calendar.
You guys are PAB.
Okay, so we're PAB.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a
meeting on the 23rd. You have your regular meetings the second Friday. The question would be, if we want to get through more content, do we do and not have those long, long days?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think John had a good point that we accomplish more.
Yeah, can you do the a fourth Friday at? And you see it in blue on question marks in those next 7 months.
Yeah, so that's a question for the team here.
Is that
the 23rd good for a follow-up meeting?
It's not for me, but I'm out of town for almost a month, so it's
going to
be...
And Kelly's going until April, right?
Sometime.
I'm okay with
that.
Well, Kelly will... I'll have him on Skype by then.
Okay. Could you have five people on the 23rd? That would be...
Can we have five people on the 23rd? Adam?
I think so.
Marsha?
Yeah.
Me?
As far as I know.
I think we'll be able to get Kelly. John? Yes.
Oh, through
Skype. We would have a quorum then.
Okay.
Kelly would...
We'll check with...
So that day is a yes?
That day is a yes.
So that's okay. So do we want to do the same timing?
Can we? 1 o'clock to 3?
Is it possible to do it an hour earlier so I can be home for the bus? I'm just asking.
Yeah, from 12 to... 12 to 2.
I'm sorry to ask.
Here's the other issue.
And then I have to run home for an hour and a half because I don't have anything to do.
12 to 2.
If it's specifically for comp plan stuff, then I would say we're going to be subject specific, and I wouldn't do it. I would do like an hour and a half, you know, 12 to 1:30, and say it's about recreational trends and the sports field inventory. That's
what this long winded as Barbara is.
Oh,
we just couldn't get through.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
So this is a workshop.
There's still meetings, but they're comp plan specific, so it's not the other business.
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't need a quorum.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, we do to function.
Can you?
I mean,
can
information
you call it a workshop? Because then you don't have to have a quorum, right? Workshop. It's really that specific
public
notification. I mean, public
income
timing.
Yeah.
Public income.
I don't know the
rules. Somebody
find out the rule.
We don't have to.
Okay.
Because
there's no
meetings.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you're not going to be voting on it.
So we're not going to be voting on anything.
You need a quorum to make decisions.
Yeah.
So if it's just a work session and you're not directing, it's mostly...
So we'll call it a work session then.
Okay. Even though you need a quorum.
But we still want to encourage everyone to participate.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, though, because if one person's gone, I just hate for everybody to come and then we can't do anything.
Yeah.
The person that's gone.
Right.
That's a challenge.
So
Yeah. Well, maybe then every one
so
of those.
So we'll call the second meeting for the next
workshops.
Several months
for, as
a work session.
Yeah.
Okay,
nice.
So
work.
Am I hearing that we want to find a different time?
No, if it's only going to be 2 hours, we're...
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have to meet the bus at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And so I always have to find someone
mm-hmm.
to go. And then I have to pay him for a two-hour minimum.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so it's $20.
I'm okay with 12 o'clock, but I don't know how...
Yeah, so no, 1 o'clock is fine in that case.
12 o'clock, it'd be
yeah,
one to 3.
Okay.
So ooh, 1 to 3. Oh,
that's 2 hours. Or do you want to 12. Do an hour and a half?
I would rather do 12 to
She's
two.
Saying 12 to 2.
12 to 2. I'm okay with 12 to 2.
Okay, if everybody's good with 12 to 2. Okay. I hate to ask, but
so that would
get spending for grandma on retirement.
That would be every
so it doesn't matter.
Work session would be that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So the second
the,
one each
one. Fourth Friday.
Fourth Friday will be
work session, comp plan, 12 to 2.
We've got that through April.
And then you meet folks for open houses, is that right?
Yes. And so you see on this, that we have these sort of scheduled out, the March 4th and 5th, end of February, beginning of March, open houses. And the idea is here is get three different areas of the county where we have a physical presence and we invite people to come out, look at the display maps, give us feedback. All these things should also be available, I would hope, on the website.
Yes.
So there are alternatives for people, you know, interacting. And if we get Vine Mixer up and running and Peak Democracy up and running, they have ways to comment as well. But the physical presence...
So what time will the work for those open houses be
evening.
Held? In the evening?
Yeah. Yeah.
Typically, let me jump in here because I have a little bit. Yeah, I have a little bit of different perspective. In Public Works, we hold our open houses typically from 4 to 7, and that might seem awfully early to traditional folks. But I'll tell you, we get so many people going to work early now.
Yeah.
We're usually busiest at 4 o'clock, and at 6:30, it can be really dead at those open houses.
Yeah. Because you get people on their way home.
Yeah, dinner time.
Yes, but if you go from 4 to 7, if they have dinner at 6, they can still pop in at 6:30 for a half hour if they want to. That has been my experience. Now, Jeff may have a different perspective on that and may want to go later. I don't pretend to have the right answer here. That's just what has seemed to work for us the best.
Normally, our open houses are always, well, normally busiest right when we open. Now, we don't normally open as early as 4 when we do ours. We usually open at 5 or 5:30. But 4 sounds fantastic to me. That's usually about the time I get home. And I know that's true for a lot of other people, too. So.
Yeah, 4 to 7 is... I think you catch two different worlds in the 4 o'clock.
That's why we try to do
seven.
Them. But we could always tweak it a little bit and go 5 to 8 or, you know, there's no
sense.
4:30.
I won't be able to do dinner at
4:30 to 6:30.
Okay.
So we just forced them out.
Yeah,
I
guess I can
fit
more. Those
are the dates that are most comfortable for everybody. My experience, the Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the days that people are most willing to come out.
We always go Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday on our open houses, never Monday or Friday.
You know, Monday's city council meetings for a lot of places, so people aren't going
to
come.
And we actually do try to look at key sports events if the Blazers are having a game or something like that.
So, one biggie before Mark has to go. The idea is that by the end of May, the draft plan will be completed, written down in a report that you guys then have time to review, and it goes through the State Commerce Department's 60-day review, and then we go through the pieces where then the Planning Commission gets a work session, and so we go through that approval process, review and approval process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to have as our target.
Just so you all know, on those dates when we go to the Planning Commission work sessions and the Planning Commission hearings and the board hearing, I would like as many PAB members as possible.
That's
there.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah. Because can you get all these on the end of our agenda on those dates? Maybe
the dates from here?
Yeah.
Sure.
If I do, will you be our planner for the school that the planning committee? I love
sure.
A profile.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
I was confident in you.
Bye, Marsha. See you later.
The dates, though, for the BC hearing and the BC work session of the board aren't in stone. However, I just want you to keep in mind, you know, they have other things to do, so I'm going to try to make sure that we get our items on their agenda that those days, but not in stone.
And you can see there is a tentative date for final adoption by the Board of County Councilors on Tuesday, August 4th, which is a night hearing if they stick with that hearing schedule.
Yep.
You want to do that?
Well, it always helps if at least a few members show up with the BOCC.
Yeah.
As long as I get on my calendar.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you. If I get it on my calendar, I get.
And these could change. I will, anytime something changes on this, I'll bring you a new copy. You know, some of these are.
This is our ideal. We're hoping this works.
This is real helpful.
But the schedule is designed just so y'all know it, with a little bit of cushion at the end before the drop dead date. So if something slides, this is the ideal. This is the way we want to make it work. If something does have to slide, though, it's not a catastrophe. But this is where we want to be.
The other piece that might happen is if everything goes extremely smoothly, and this is probably something I shouldn't say, is you might not have to meet twice a month every year.
Hold on, can you repeat anything we just
What? Huh? What? I'm not making any promise. Anyway, that's what we got. Okay.
Anything else you want me to add to this? Or?
For those open houses, I'd like at least one or two of the members to attend each of those. So
if you can do March or February and pencil it in.
Maybe
Leanne could track like which. Yeah.
Do you know which one is going to be where?
We don't yet.
Do you have a preference?
Well, maybe if you get us, you know, where they're going to be held.
Yeah,
we can make sure that at least a couple from different team can be there.
One of them is going to be Hazelville. One of them is going to be over in East County, Campus of Rochelle, and one in North County. It depends on where we can get the free rooms.
Yeah.
So maybe like Three Creeks, that's where we're Salmon Creek.
The sooner you can mail something down and send out an email, the easier it is to get on my calendar.
I'm sure. I just want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with that and we'll move forward as long as everybody is.
Okay. What time are the Planning Commission meetings starting?
Coming back in.
Workshops 6:30 a.m. Hearing sometimes work start. Shop starts at 6, but it depends. But I'll let everybody. Depends on what the.
I didn't quite hear.
Oh, the Planning Commission.
He's checking all the times.
Yeah.
Oh, start times.
Planning Commission work sessions in here. And then if we do go, to the Board of Commissioners on August 4th, and they continue with their recent practice of having the first Tuesday meeting. During the evening, then that will also start at 7.
No, at 6.
Oh, when they start, because they do their work sessions early, that's right.
They start their board hearing at 6, and then if we aren't on that, it's 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
Right.
Work sessions are likely going to be held on Wednesdays, part of the transition to a new home rule charter, and they're still kind of working out some of those issues.
It's likely to get so there are not going to be very many work sessions.
Meeting with coaches, so that's an action item.
Okay.
Just as a reminder to me.
So, Barbara, I think that's it on comp plan stuff.
Oh, back so I interrupted you and stopped the flow of thought. I'm sorry.
No, that's where I was going.
Oh, okay.
You got it. You guys, it's like ESP here.
So you could be done early. We might. Any new business? Then why don't we do a quick round table? Jennifer?
I have nothing new to add today.
Nothing?
We're doing our own comp plan update. Thanks.
Oh.
Thanks, Danny.
Having showed up late, what was the What are the budgetary plans that we went through
before? Oh, we skipped those.
You just skipped
those. Because Bill is out. Yeah. Okay. So that will be next time.
It seems awfully early in the year to be jumping into budget. Why is this coming out now?
It's because we asked.
Okay.
We asked.
Okay, so
previously.
this is a review of current and what's happening.
And taking a look at, you know, when we're looking at the year ahead, what are our primary goals for this year?
I saw that email and my mind went straight to budget presentations.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just the newly adopted.
It's we're new. We don't really know what the process or budget is. Can you give us some visibility?
Good.
Good. I'm good too. That was a great presentation, and I think a good discussion today.
It was really.
Thank you. Also, donate to parks. Jerry's not.
Yep. Donate to parks. Parks only.
Yeah. Hey.
They do an awesome job. I mean, if you just
look
at the numbers from 2008 and how much it's grown.
Oh, and I remember when they first started.
And how engaged people have become in this
Office. Well, you know, people, they're generous, but they still want that tax deduction, and I'll tell you. It's
so
good to have the Parks Foundation on our side.
April 14th, whatever The luncheon should be on everyone's calendar.
Yeah, it's on my calendar
already. Tell me what your roles and responsibilities are. Right?
No. April 30th. April 30th.
Yes.
April 30th.
Yeah.
Hilton.
Yeah.
And you're doing any
for the good of the order?
No. We do a program at Evergreen every year called Principal for a Day, and I try and identify community members who are interested in coming in for a couple of hours, hanging out with the school principal, and then we pull everyone back together as a group for lunch with the other participants on our school board. So if there are any of the PAD members or county folks who would be interested in attending, let me know. Get you set up. The next one is March 6th. So.
What school do your kids go to?
Franklin
Illinois.
So what do they actually do? They just
wait.
So follow the principal around or what?
Yeah, the principal really try. I mean, all of them go to different extents, but they try to work. You know, if you were with a principal, they would try and work you into their morning. So staff meetings, making the rounds around the school, classroom visits. It's really, we really want people to see that the classrooms are different than when you were in school, and see how our workshop models and different framework, instructional frameworks are being used in the classroom and how kids are interacting and learning today.
How is this different from the patron tours?
This is a little more in-depth and it's more one-on-one. So a patron tour, Vancouver's are probably the same, you know, you've got 30 or 40 people on a bus, you get off of school, and maybe you break into small groups, do a quick tour around the school, you're maybe there for half hour, 45 minutes, and then you're back on the bus to go to another school.
Do we need to reserve a spot at that luncheon?
You have to RSVP.
Yes, you do.
You have to RSVP and you have to pay.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
It's
a Hilton meal. It's a nice meal.
Yeah, it's always a nice meal.
Presentation.
So in other words, we need to call Sharon.
I'll send the link out. I'll send the link out to you.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Asking me a board question.
Yeah. Basically agreed. We should all really be
Anyway, I've done the patron tours. Now, I'm not in Evergreen, but my one daughter lives out there, so.
Well, we're always trying. I mean, I'm usually identifying elected officials, appointed officials, business leaders, anyone.
Oh, okay, so it's not general public you want this to
be about. No.
Oh, never mind.
No, just an invite to you guys, anybody here that would be interested in attending.
Thank you.
For March something. What school district?
Evergreen
School.
Yeah. March 6th.
Is it specifically instead of just the whole district? Is it just one school?
No, we usually have anywhere between 6 and 12 participants, so they each go to a different school.
Oh.
And then all come back together.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Jeremy? Catch you.
Nothing here.
Nothing?
He has to sell one of his dogs.
All right. What kind?
She's a blonde.
Oh.
Does she bite?
No.
No.
They're wonderful. All his dogs are wonderful. But he has eight.
He's sad. Yeah. Jeff?
It's a hobby.
Sorry, Jeremy. I thought it'd be good if they all knew you a little bit better.
Oh.
It's a pack.
It's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Go Seahawks, and I go Seahawks, and I love my Ducks.
Oh gosh. I didn't wear any gear, but I married someone from Central Ohio.
Oh no.
Because we both went to Ohio State University.
Oh.
So it will be interesting next Monday.
What do you have on you?
Oh, Jeff scoots away.
Flying the team across the field. Sorry, I don't really care about football, but I love seeing the Oregon Ducks uniforms every time.
Hey, Nike outfitted both teams, to be fair.
Seriously?
Yes. And and so, you know, it's sad, really, but neither one really represent their...
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah.
They're not like any other duck uniform we've seen, which is sad.
The Ducks are all
white. But it is what it is.
It's white. They're the white Ducks. So you think the Buckeyes are going to be black?
They're both going to be outfitted by Nike.
That's interesting.
So it'll be a highly fashionable.
I've heard a lot of radio about this. I haven't seen it, but on the radio, boy, they're just talking about that.
Well,
each team's mojo just sold it all back. Very similar teams, though, so it's all to be fun. We do have the Heisman Trophy winner, though, Dean, so I just
think you're a
little disadvantaged.
Oh, I have nothing to add.
Nothing for Roundtable. How about you, Leah?
Nothing here. Bill just sends his apologies. He really wished he could have been here, but you know how sick he can
do. He can keep his germs at home.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, good meeting, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.
You get your own name for this. You're in this now, too.